22:30.
BBC World Service. Hi there, it's Paul McCartney, and we're ready for another edition of Roots of Rock. Stick to those radios, won't you? We're starting off with my version of Elvis Presley song. Here we go, All Shook Up. That's me singing All Shook Up, the great Elvis Presley track, with the band that I went into Abbey Road with to record my new album, and that is on guitar, Dave Gilmour, the Smooth Diamond, on another guitar, Mr. Mick Green, the Rough Diamond. Combination of those two guys playing guitar is really serious, beautiful. And on drums, Dave Mattox, and on piano, Garrant Watkin, Wedge Laddie, and on bass, myself, doing a bit of singing. The reason I wanted to do this album, there were a couple of reasons. For years I've been saying I wanted to do a rock and roll album. It's one of those things that if you're not careful, you never get round to. So I decided at the end of the 20th century, I'd get round to it. It was also an idea that was very popular with Linda. She always said, you've got to do that rock and roll album. So she kind of egged me into it. So I finally got it together. What I decided to do was to go back to the method of recording that we used to use in the early days with the Beatles. Because we didn't have any control over the whole thing. We just listened to what the producer said to us. And he said, be there at 10 o'clock Monday morning. He said, be ready, tuned up, and have your amplifiers all ready to go by 10:30. He said, between 10:30 and 1:30, we want to do two songs. Then you get 1:30 to 2:30 for lunch, 2:30 to 5:30, another two songs, and then you go home at 5:30. And I remembered having such great time, because it was quick to think on your feet. They brought all your senses into focus. You had to sing good. There was no kind of going over it. You had to play and sing at the same time. So the very essence of recording like that really used to excite me. And I thought, well, if we put that together again, and I used all the same circumstances, even down to Abbey Road No. 2 studio, which was our main studio, let's hope we'll get the same sort of vibe in the studio. And I think once everyone had got over the shock of not even knowing what we were going to do, because that was the other feature about it, I realized that we'd get in there at 10:30. George Martin and Jeff Emmerich, the engineer, would come down and say, okay, chaps, what are we going to do? And me and John would say, it goes like this. And we'd play it for the first time ever. And George and Ringo often wouldn't even know the song, because if we'd written it just the week before, we wouldn't have had time to even show it to them. So it was this magic quality of just showing people a song and say, well, let's go and record it. The kind of story you hear a lot when you look at the old rock and rollers, like the Sun recordings, you know, like Jerry Lee doing a whole lot of shaking in a break. You know, often some of these great takes come out of people just knocking them off really quickly. So I wanted to do that, and so out of that came this new album. So I decided to go back to basics, and that meant that I played my old Hofner bass and had to sing at the same time, something quite unheard of today's recording. So there we are. And the next track we're going to get into here is one by James Ray, and George Harrison had the James Ray album. Not many people had managed to get hold of this album, but, you know, we once or twice would get a specialist album like this, and we'd pour through it to see if there's anything that we could do. And we found this song, If You've Got to Make a Fool of Somebody, which was bluesy. The only trouble was it was in 3/4 time, which meant it was officially a waltz and had a tuba on bass. So it was very unlikely that we were going to do it. We just fell in love with the song. And I remember when we did it, we got to Hamburg doing it. And I remember guys from the other bands would say to each other, you've got to listen to this one. It's a waltz and it's the craziest song ever. I remember them coming to the sides of the stage, listening especially to this song whenever we did it. So it was a really good one to have in our act, because it got attention from the more discerning people in the audience. Anyway, here's the original, and this is by James Ray, If You've Got to Make a Fool of Somebody. That was a great James Ray singing If You've Got to Make a Fool of Somebody. And he also wrote George's hit, Got My Mind Set on You, another one that came from that same album, I think. That was a goodbye, George. Well worth the money. Okay, we're moving now to a lesser-known track. See, what used to happen with the Beatles is we would go on a bill with, let's say, four or five other bands in the early 60s, And sometime, if we were a little bit later on in the bill, you'd suddenly hear the other band doing about four or five of your songs. So they'd be doing What Did I Say, Long Tall Sally, Dance in the Streets. We look at each other and say, what the heck are we going to do now? They've just done our whole act. And we couldn't figure out. We thought, well, we just better go on and try and play it better than they've done it. But it wasn't really very satisfactory. So what we decided to do then was look for obscure tracks so that we could cover them, and hopefully these other bands wouldn't have found these other old tracks. So you find in the early Beatle repertoire, there's a lot of strange little tracks, which actually got picked up quite nicely later. Clarabella was one of these rare tracks that I managed to find, and I started doing it on the Cavern, for the reasons I mentioned. And it went down really well, so this got in the Beatles act. So let's hear the original now by the Jody Mars, Clarabella. Okay, so that was the Jody Mars singing Clarabella, one of the obscure tracks that we have to resort to stop all the other bands playing our act. I tell you, the other thing about that point is, I also realised that is actually why John and I started writing songs, for that very reason. It wasn't that we thought we were great composers, but that was the other way that a band certainly wouldn't ever be able to get hold of our stuff. And even though they were quite ropey songs, it did work. I don't think they would have wanted to touch some of the early songs, mind you. Okay, we're going to move right along now, swiftly, to a song that was recorded originally by the Del Vikings. And this great memory for me was when I first saw John Lennon. He was appearing at the Walton Village Fete. I mentioned it in the first show in this series. And there he was standing there doing this song, Come Go With Me. Now, I knew the record. I didn't know all the words, but I could tell he wasn't singing the real words. And what must have happened, as was the case, and we talked about it in later years, was that John himself didn't have the record, but he'd heard it on the radio, but he hadn't been quick enough to get the words down. But what impressed me was, you'd be singing, come, 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 come and go with me. And then he didn't know the next line, so he'd be singing, down, down, down to the penitentiary, which is borrowed from some old blues classic. So he was filling in a rather a cool way with these little blues lyrics. And I'd looked at him, I thought, this guy's got something. Okay. The Del Vikings, Come Go With Me. There we are, that was the Del Vikings, Come Go With Me, the first song I ever heard John Lennon singing at the Walton Village Fete. Boy, I'm glad I went to that one. Okay, now, we're moving on to a track that I recorded for my album Run Devil Run. And the way we recorded this album was I thought, if I can keep it as fresh and as spontaneous as when we recorded all the early Beatles stuff, so much the better. So one of the guys rang up the week before and he said, what kind of songs are we going to do? Maybe I can do a little bit of homework. But we said to him, no homework. It's not that kind of a project. So what I'd do in the morning was I'd just pull a lyric out of a manila envelope and I'd say to everyone, does anyone know this song or this song? And often they'd say no, because some of them were quite obscure tracks. So I pulled this one out. I said, does anyone know No Other Baby? Everyone shook their head blankly. I said, well, actual fact, I'm not sure who did the original record. I said, I haven't actually got the record, but the song stuck in my mind so much that for years and years I used to do it at sound checks and stuff. So I said, okay, here's how it goes. And we did this version of No Other Baby. That was me doing No Other Baby. And in actual fact, I found out after I'd made the record, and we had to register it and find out if the composer was still around and things like that, found out it was actually done by a group called the Vipers, who were one of our favourite skiffle groups, who Wally Whiten was a member of. And Dickie Bishop wrote this song for the Vipers. And to complete the full circle, I was talking to George Martin about having made my Run Devil Run album, and he asked what songs I'd done. And I said, well, there was this song, you know, by the Vipers. It turned out he'd recorded the original version with them. And when I reminded him how he went, he said, oh, yes, I remember that, Paul. So that's No Other Baby. Okay, now we're moving on to another great favourite of ours, somebody who in later life I got to know really well, the late, great Carl Perkins. We met up with him during a session at Abbey Road once, and he was a really great guy. He was a sort of down-home country boy and a lovely person like so many of these guys. And one of the first songs we used to do of his was called Honey Don't. So let's have a little listen to that now. Carl Perkins doing Honey Don't. All right, that was the great Carl Perkins singing Honey Don't. Okay, we're getting towards the end of the show now. It's been great fun playing all these records for you. And one of our favorites, who wasn't so much in the rock and roll world, but we weren't really snobbish about that, was more from the jazz world, more from the R&B world, was Ray Charles. And this was a record that just blew our socks off when we first heard it. My first time I ever actually heard it was on the BBC with a DJ, David Jacobs. Quite an unlikely guy, really, with his posh voice, to be playing a record like that. But not only did he play the record, he turned it over, and he played the B-side, which is more of the same. A really cool move. I always had a lot of time for David after that. This is a fantastic record that, just to say, blew everyone away. Ray Charles, What Did I Say?